Welcome to the Ozaki Family Wellness Podcast. Each episode is meant to inform you and empower you with knowledge and actionable steps to improve your health and wellness. You will enjoy quick wellness tips, parenting resources, and learn about local businesses that are here to support you on your wellness journey. Your host, Dr. Camille Berger, is here to encourage and guide you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome back. I'm here with my husband, Matt, and we're going to start talking about parenting this season of the podcast. So say hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
He's the king of dad jokes, so we'll see how many you get in the podcast today. But anyway, today we're going to be talking about not being tired at the same time, with a focus on supporting each other in self-care in those first few months of parenting and beyond. So we are far beyond the first few months of parenting, and we are definitely thankful for that. Today we're going to talk about how to not be tired at the same time. So we're going to focus on supporting your partner through self-care through the first couple months of parenting and beyond. So although we're past those first few months of parenting, we have really found that the challenges don't stop. They don't go away. They just kind of change.
Yeah, that's very true. And you still need to sleep.
Yes, sleep is so important. So where the title of this podcast has come from is, you know, when you go to a baby shower and you have to like write down in a card, like your one piece of advice to the parents to be, we always say, don't be tired at the same time. Like, that's honestly all there is to it to survive parenting. Don't be tired at the same time. So, Matt, do you want to say why that's important?
Well, in our experience, oftentimes, if we're both tired at the same time, first, we get short with each other, and then we get short with the child, unfortunately, and that's not good for anybody. The amount of energy we have to deal with the smallest thing kind of goes out the window. So if one of us is able to have recovered and be patient, that's very helpful in order to deal with difficult situations with children, whether it's they're not sleeping, taking things turn by turn and just getting rest so that someone has rest and not just being like, you need to be up with me because the baby's up in the middle of the night, so you both need to be awake. That's not that helpful. You might not want to be lonely, but by letting your partner sleep and taking the child in that period of time, and then when you need to rest, your partner can take over and they're well rested, that usually goes a lot better for both parents.
Yeah, so a little backstory on that. When our oldest was born, Matt was working at a golf course that had a major championship something or other. I don't remember. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, he was working many, 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 many hours the first week that our oldest was home, and I had an emergency C-section, and I really couldn't like walk up the stairs. Like, my recovery was really hard. But then he was also tired because he was working many hours and sleeping very few. Not because of having a baby, but because of work. And we really found that started parenting off on the wrong foot, and it snowballed into situations where we had a baby with colic and a witching hour, and I don't know. I just remember, like, standing at the door with her waiting for him to get home to just hand him the crying baby. And that, like...
Yeah. That really made me want to come home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's when I think just going through that and then getting out of that phase and having a few years in between having brand new babies, we really understood by the time we had our second child that rest was so important, even if it was only one parent that was rested at a time. So we're going to talk a little bit about how we manage that, not with our first, because that's where we made the mistakes. Sorry, oldest children. I'm an oldest child, so I know how it goes. But we're going to talk about trading off resources, how we did that with our second child, so that we were rested and so that we did have the ability to parent two children and get sleep. And I was in the middle of chiropractic school when I had him, so I had to have energy for that as well. So trade-off of resources. What does that mean to you, Matt?
A lot of things, I guess. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is money in exchange for services or goods, but that's not exactly what you mean.
All right, so just
within
so...
Within a marriage, within a...
Just so all our listeners know, I have written an outline, and what's happening here is I'm asking him interview questions so that I'm not doing all the talking. So that's where we are with that. But what I was thinking with trade-off of resources is those resources required for parenting. So resources like rest, sleep,
yep.
I'll even say showers are an important resource.
Very important.
Food and nourishment.
Yep.
Time in community. So, like, outside of the children. Adult time with other adults.
It's very important.
Those are the big ones I'm thinking of right now. So, I want to talk first about breastfeeding and being up through the night. Every couple hours. To feed a hungry baby. Because I exclusively breastfed all three kids, that meant that I was getting up. There's no logical reason for Matt to get out of bed in the middle of the night when I had to breastfeed the baby. Because we were so lucky that they would nurse and go back to sleep. It wasn't like this whole, like, thing. So when I was up 2 to 3 times a night, half an hour, 45 minutes, and it takes a while to fall back asleep because you're like, I don't know. We had a trade-off. And that trade-off was in the morning, when the baby was still sleeping, I got to sleep. And we still had to be places in the morning.
Yeah.
Even I went back to class when Jonah was 6 days old, so I was going back to 8 o'clock class with my 6 day old, but I couldn't have done that if I didn't have help and that trade off of resources. So Matt, you can kind of, I don't remember what, I wasn't there. You were doing it, but I woke up to a lovely breakfast every morning. So
yeah. Well, I mean, with that pregnancy, we kind of got in the habit of having a reasonably higher protein breakfast every day. So it often included eggs and bacon or other sausage, breakfast sausages, something, so that there was a little more, you know, protein in the breakfast. So we kind of got used to that. I had gotten into that routine where I'd wake up and make that breakfast and kind of carried through once Jonah was born, but I would make breakfast. I would also juice most mornings, and we had one recipe that we really liked at that time, and we didn't differentiate too much. It was just another way to get another nutrient-packed meal into our bodies, and I would get those things ready for myself and for Camille, and our oldest would get fed well before she went off to school, daycare at the time. Mm-hmm. But this was also at a time I was fortunate enough to be able to take some paternity leave when our second was born. So while Camille was going back to class at 6 days after having him, I was going with her. I would be with our son out in the hall, holding him, letting him sleep, letting him do whatever he needs to do, change his diaper while she was in class. But as soon as he needed to eat, I would take him into her, or she'd come out and nurse him, and we would just be at school together all day. So that was definitely a lot of work, and I know it's not something that everyone has the ability to do, but if you are able, I would encourage it. At the time, my employer didn't pay me for not being at work, obviously, but I was still able to take that leave, which was really, really beneficial. But it's one of those decisions you have to make in order to have that trade of resources,
mm-hmm.
as you're calling it.
And honestly, like, this was not an easy decision for us. To some extent, it wasn't a decision. When you're in graduate school and you have a baby, you're only excused from class the days you're in the hospital. Because it's not employment.
Yeah.
So there's no laws protecting the mother and the baby. So the decision I made was to take him back to class, which also wasn't necessarily allowed, but I asked for forgiveness, not permission in this instance, because the reality of it was I couldn't miss class and pass that trimester. I think I only had like 3 or 4 weeks left.
Yeah.
But I still had to complete finals and pass. Otherwise, I was doing it over.
Right.
And we made the decision for Matt to take unpaid leave so that I could do that. And we could still maintain some normalcy in our home. And we traded the resource of income, essentially,
yeah.
for care for our youngest child. You can't put a child under 6 weeks old into daycare anyway. No one will take them. It's not an option.
Yeah.
So that's what we chose to do. And a lot of parenting is making difficult decisions and deciding which resource is most important to you at that time. Like, you can think of, is it more important for me to take a nap or take a shower? That's a decision of which resource is more important to you. And it's going to be different for everyone. And everyone has to make that decision for themselves. And it's really nobody else's business. Honestly. Unless they're going to come and provide you with resources.
Yeah. I mean, if you're small enough, they might.
They might. And that would be nice. And maybe we need more of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's go back to that paternity leave. Some companies do provide it. Some dads, some families choose to save up their vacation and use that.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can take it unpaid. And those are kind of the options in this country at this time. But if it's not an option, like you're in the middle of a huge project or tournament or something, there might be some other ways that you can have some help at home, because the mom who has just given birth is recovering from a huge life-changing event. She's becoming a mother, and she's learning, she's creating a new relationship with a new person. And, I mean, it's just kind of messy, and you're tired from that marathon, and you're bleeding, and there's milk everywhere, and you're hungry, and then, like, you get night sweats because your hormones are changing, and you just need help. And no one tells you how much help you're going to need, and if your partner's not there to help you, it's very isolating. So if you're going to be in a situation that you don't have help or you have older children, I recommend either finding a family member that's going to be helpful, or hiring a postpartum doula.
Yeah. While you're talking about that, I was just kind of thinking the worst advice you can give to a new parent, in my opinion, is just sleep when the baby's sleeping. That just frustrates more people than anything. Like, telling someone to just sleep when the baby's sleeping, it doesn't really work that way. I mean, if you did, there'd be a lot of things that probably wouldn't get done. Showering, mm-hmm. eating, mm-hmm. like, especially when that baby is an infant, and they need a lot. It's just don't tell people that. That's not helpful.
So true. All right. So when your kids get older, sleep can still be hard to come by. For us, can you believe she's almost four? Our youngest is almost four. And she still comes in bed with us. Yeah. And quite honestly, we moved in the last, like, month or so. And we moved from our bedroom being down the hall to our bedroom being down the hall, down the stairs, through the kitchen, through the living room, and down another set of stairs. So I thought for sure she was going to stop coming in our bed. But that child has persistence.
She stopped for a few days.
She was so exhausted, she stopped. Yeah. Uh-huh. She still comes in our bed. And it's, you just don't, I don't know. Like, I like little baby snuggles. I like the cuddles. And if she comes in at like 6 in the morning, I'm good with that. But when she comes at like 11, it just makes for a long night, and I don't sleep as well. Some people sleep fine with their kids in their bed, but that is not us.
No, I'm pretty much always thinking that I'm going to, like, lay on top of her and suffocate her.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
hasn't happened.
So as your kids get older, it's still important to realize that the same principle applies. Don't be tired at the same time. You have a lot more obligations and things are different. Your children have different needs that still need to be met. And if you're tired, I mean, talking to an older child about emotional struggles or difficulty with homework or a fight with their friend or whatever is still, like, is really hard to do if you're tired. And, like, you're like, I don't have patience for my 8-year-old's fight with her best friend. Like, that's not really happened for us, but, like, there are the whining and stuff. Like, if I'm tired, like, I just have no patience for it, and my fuse is short, and then, like, it just escalates and snowballs, and it turns into a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, ways to continue your self-care when your children get older. Really, here, communication is the number one thing. Like, you need to be, number one, clear on what you need. And then number two, you have to tell your partner. Because none of us can read anybody's mind.
Nope.
I can't read your mind, man.
What are you saying?
So at this point, I might have learned a little bit of mind reading. And I know that Matt likes to get up early, have his coffee, have his shower, and quiet. And if a kid wakes up in the middle of it and interrupts it, it messes up the rest of his day.
Yeah. That, yep. Mm-hmm.
And those are not my needs.
No. I've learned that you want to sleep past your alarm for about 20 minutes, and then another 10 minutes, and then another 10 minutes.
I feel attacked.
You get most of your work done in the evenings. That is when you do best. The mornings are rough.
Okay. Speaking of caring for older children, Matt does need to go pick up our 3-year-old, so we're going to take a pause, and you will hear from us. I mean, for you, it'll be 5 seconds, but for us, we don't know when we're going to finish, so we'll pick up and be back soon. All right, we are back. I think it's been about a week. I don't know.
A few days.
It all blurs together. But we're going to start now by talking about what our self-care needs are, how we know what they are, and how we incorporate them into our daily lives with kids.
Yeah.
Matt, you can go first.
Oh, how do I know what my self-care needs are? That's a good question. That's something I struggle with often. Because it's usually the first thing that tends to go out the window when life gets stressful. So, I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I have a morning routine, and if I have to alter that, it gets me flustered. So I try to make sure that I have my little bit of time in the morning. It's not extremely, like, self-caring, I guess, but I have to prep myself for the day. I have a couple activities that I do outside of with my immediate family. I have a group of men that I get together with, and we talk about, you know, what's going on in our lives, and we support each other through that. So that's something that's really important for myself, you know, essentially, you know, helping me go through some daily life things that, you know, I don't want to necessarily burden my family with all the time. They've heard it all themselves. So the other thing that I do is, one thing that I've been doing recently is I have a golf league that I'm in. So I get a little bit of exercise and a little bit of, you know, time with other adults. And that's beneficial for me. Things that I've been working on to try to improve are diet and exercise, and silly enough, drinking enough water.
That's not silly at all. Nobody drinks enough water.
Nobody does, but it's a very important thing. And just refocusing on some of those things, having the mindset of I need to care for myself in order to care for others is kind of a challenge.
Yeah, so how were you able to identify that you had those needs that weren't being met?
Oh, I didn't feel well at all. My body was telling me, you need to do something about this before it gets worse. You know, just some minor symptoms of achy body and some other stuff going on that wasn't from any illness directly. Just my body was telling me it's time to make a change or things are going to get worse.
Yeah, that's interesting, because a lot of your needs that you have been meeting through your self-care are actually social emotional needs.
Okay, doctor. And?
And I think it really can illustrate the mind-body connection, that if you're not taking care of your emotional, social, and spiritual needs, it can affect the way your body feels, the way your body's functioning.
Yep.
And it was over a long period of time that you implemented this. It wasn't like all of a sudden one day Matt woke up and he's like, I am going to build community with these men from church. It was
yeah,
kind of a slow progression, and now you have a really stable community of other dads and husbands and Christian men that you get to talk to on a biweekly basis. And that's really fed your soul. And as a result, I see health changes in you. So that's why self-care is important. And it doesn't have to be massages and essential oils and facials, but it can be. But for Matt, it's not.
I like those things too, though.
Yeah. I was actually just going to start talking about those things. So that's kind of what I do for self-care, which maybe it's kind of cliche, but my reasoning is really that as a wellness practitioner, like, I really like to sample other wellness therapies or routines. So I really enjoy getting acupuncture and massage, and I just started going to PT, and I get adjusted, and those are kind of my self-care routines. I also do my best to implement gratitude, which I did talk about on a little wellness tip, and that's definitely easier said than done. I'm not perfect, but I do my best to get it in. Probably, I really wish it was every day, but it's probably closer to 3 times a week. And I know that specifically my body does start to hurt after adjusting for a long day. So I have therapies in place to help me with that. But there's something for me about feeling good in my body that creates more emotional health for me. So there's all sorts of different avenues and different ways that you can find your self-care routine, and it's going to look totally different for everyone. And it's same. I found out that I needed self-care because my body hurt and I wasn't taking care of it. And I also am working on the exercise and the nutritional aspect and drinking more water, that sort of thing as well. And it's important to note that those sorts of things are always an ongoing journey. It's not ever like an achievement of like, today I drank enough water and I am done. Because guess what? Tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to need to drink more water. So I think really finding peace in that it's a journey that ebbs and flows. And accepting that you're not perfect is so helpful in building a self-care routine, because if you try to be perfect, you might give up, and it's not all or nothing. It really has to be what fits in your life, each season of your life and each day of your life. And with kids, this season of my life, I have to schedule my acupuncture every other week or I will not take care of myself. That's basically where it is with meeting children's needs and running a business.
At first I thought you were going to say at this season of life with kids, it's trick or treat season. So that's,
oh my goodness, the candy.
They enjoy it so much. We don't let them have a lot, but you know, it's still there. It's very challenging.
I just keep saying that I wish my mom was around to tell me to stop eating the candy. It's just not fair.
All you need to do is do a cleanse right after Halloween, and then you have to stop.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk just briefly about date nights, because before we became parents, we were husband and wife, and we still are.
Jeez.
So I think it's really important to nourish that relationship and have some self-care around that as well. So it is, with the pandemic and like finding a babysitter and like going out for a date was just really hard. I know that there was a lot of buzz around doing dates in your house, but I don't know about all of you guys with young children. Our house is not relaxing and like date ready.
there's no spot for us to be away from the children that they're not going to then follow us to.
Yeah. Or their toys follow us to.
Like, we, even if we had two TVs and, like, we wanted to do date night, movie night and watch, you know, a PG-13 or R movie, and the kids were watching their G movie over in the other room, they would still end up in our room and we'd have to change the movie.
Yeah. So, point being, that setup doesn't really work for us. So we do our best to make it a point to leave the house for a date night once or twice a month.
That is our goal.
And it has been a while. Now that I think about it.
It has.
So.
Takes a lot of planning.
It does. And it does. It
has to be intentional. Can't just be like, oh, we're going to do this tonight. That's not how it works. So again, it's prioritizing making that time for it so that we can have connection, so that our family can have connection.
Yeah, which is the next point of topic is family time. I think in being able to have self-care and remain rested and feeling full, it's really important to make sure that the kids are getting what they need. Mm-hmm. So Matt and I will kind of say, like, specifically with Jonah, we notice it the most. When his cup is full, his behavior is way different than if his cup is empty.
Yeah.
And our kids look at us like we're crazy when we say, oh, honey, your cup is full. And they're like, what? What cup? I don't have any juice.
my cup's empty. Where's my kefir?
Where's my kefir? Yeah. So we just implemented this. We do a Friday movie and pizza night.
Yep.
And like, we the take health turns. Nerds we are.
Yeah. Oh, you can share that part first.
We make gluten-free, dairy-free pizza.
You I know. You have to say it with that
I know.
Face.
Well, okay.
I know they can't see your face, but I can.
I know what they're thinking. They're like, what? Gross. Why bother? Because I had this thought, too. But after much trial and error.
Yeah. A lot of error.
We found a good option. We actually make it. So we buy the pizza crust separate, we buy the cheese separate, and then we put on, kids like just cheese.
Yep.
But we put on what we want to put on ours, and it's a really good option, and we don't have poor behavior all weekend because the dairy and the gluten just really, our kids are just very sensitive to it. I think most kids are, and you don't realize it, but we can talk about this another time. Anyway, point being, we have a set aside time that we take turns picking a movie, yeah, and we eat dinner together and just kind of cuddle on the couch. We eat in front of the TV just this once a week, and enjoy it.
Yeah. It's nice. The kids like it because they get to take turns picking the movie. We have to say that it has to be a movie, otherwise we're gonna be watching 10 episodes of Bluey. So we make sure that we pick movies. We try to switch it up so that we're not watching Frozen 2 every single time. But they're really receptive to that. They like the idea of being able to get the chance to pick. They like pizza. Our 9-year-old kinda is like, this again, but she likes it, she eats it. She knows that we're not gonna go to a pizza shop and just get pizza right now. So they do well. They enjoy it. They enjoy the time. That's essentially like with camping. Our oldest, she says that her favorite part of camping is going home. But what it really comes down to is she really loves the family time. She enjoys mostly the time around the campfire as a family. But she enjoys that time with no distractions, you know, no homework, no TV, no, you know, just out in God's creation with our family. And that's what she likes the most about camping. So that family time is super important.
Yeah, and really when our kids are getting what they need from us, bedtime goes better. And then we can go to bed earlier, which means we're more rested. which is really the goal that we're trying to accomplish. Of course, we enjoy family time as well, but I think it's really important as parents, there's this balance between meeting your kids' needs and meeting your own needs. And ultimately, if someone's not getting their needs met, it'll just spiral downwards, at least in our experience. So it might feel boring, but having like a set routine, weekly, daily, monthly, even seasonally, is super helpful to make sure everyone has their needs met.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, thank you all so much for joining us. It was lovely to be attacked about snoozing my alarm in the morning. But we are trying to go to bed earlier. We really are. And that should help.
You still have to wake up.
I know. I'm not going to drink anymore.
Thank you so much for joining your host, Dr. Camille, today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. If you found value in the content provided, please share this with a friend. You never know how far-reaching something you think, say, or do will affect the lives of millions tomorrow.